And now we have a real treat. We have highlights of Monday's Rensselaer County Executive Candidate Forum, organized by the Troy Neighborhood Action Council and moderated by Lisa Robert Lewis of the Times Union. Participating were Democrat Andrea Smith and Republican Steve McLaughlin. Green Party candidate Wayne Foy did not participate, though he was invited. And it just goes for about 23 minutes or so.
The Rensselaer County executive candidates tonight. To my left, I have Andrea Smith, the Democratic candidate. And to my right, Steve McLaughlin, who is the Republican Party candidate. Steve, we'll go by alphabetical order, and you may start with your opening statement.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, and it's good to see everyone. And you know, we certainly keep Las Vegas in our hearts and prayers after that unbelievable, heinous terrorist act today. So we keep them in our thoughts and prayers, and pray for them out there, and also the folks in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and Houston and Florida. So I'm Steve McLaughlin. I've been honored and blessed to be an assemblyman representing the 107th district for the past 7 years. Now I'm in my fourth term, and we just got through a pretty bruising primary on the Republican side for Rensselaer County Executive, where we outspent 3-1, but we're able to be victorious thanks to a good message of economic growth and prosperity and a better future for Rensselaer County. So looking forward to tonight. I thank you for participating and being here, and I'm sure we're going to get some great questions. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Andrea Smith. Thank you all for being here, and thanks to Trip for hosting such a fantastic opportunity for the voters to come in direct contact with the candidates. I was fortunate this afternoon to participate in an event with U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and she did ask for a moment of silence to honor the victims of the shooting in Vegas. And I won't ask for a moment because I only have a moment, but I would ask that sometime tonight before the end of the evening, you take a moment to think about the violence that was afforded to those people, a night that began with a concert and ended with so many deaths. So I am the Democratic candidate for Rensselaer County Executive. I'm very excited about the opportunity to use everything that I have learned in my 30 years as a policy expert to bring a better future to the people of Rensselaer County. I work for the New York State Association of Counties, and there I was an expert in trying to help county government implement all of the state programs that they are responsible for. So I look forward to this evening and talking to you further. All these questions have been submitted from your constituents, your future constituents, and so we'll get started right away. Andrea, we'll start with you. What are the top two or three most pressing issues in the county, and how do you plan to address them? So, of utmost importance is the water infrastructure and the water, drinking water quality. And my goals here are not only to prioritize the projects, but to access as much federal and state funding as can be afforded to the community so the property taxpayers aren't burdened with the repairs and the modernization that are needed to address that problem. In addition to the water quality, we need to be shovel ready for economic development in this county. There are towns in our county that do not have public sewer. There are towns in our county that do not have broadband. You cannot expect businesses to be attracted to those types of places until you make them shovel ready. And right here in Troy, to really attract the type of businesses that we need, we have to get more shovel ready sites. To do that, I also hope to expand trade apprenticeships so we have the workforce to really be ready to address those building needs.
Well, similar answer. Certainly infrastructure is key, and the economy is overriding key. I've been blessed, honored really, to be the number one pro-business legislator in the state by the Business Council of New York, and twice named a guardian of small business by the National Federation of Independent Businesses in my time as a legislator. So I'm very focused on economic growth and development done the right way. Clearly, we have pressing needs for infrastructure. I certainly was front and center on the Hoosick Falls issue. That is an issue that could pop up anywhere in this county and certainly anywhere in the state. So we need to be on top of that issue. And the heroin problem is a giant problem for us here in this county, as we are losing far too many, not just young people, but we're losing folks across the spectrum. It knows no economic boundaries. It knows no political boundaries. It is a major problem that all of us need to deal with, and it's something that I will absolutely focus heavily on as county executive.
Thank you. Steve, you'll get this question first. Rensselaer County, as required by Governor Cuomo, recently prepared a report re-existing and possible future savings to be achieved through shared services. What do you feel is the best way to proceed to realize these savings, and particularly with Troy?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, this honestly was the governor trying to gain some political points. I mean, Rensselaer County has been sharing services for decades, and that will continue. Everywhere we can find a way to share services, we will. But we talked about this on the floor of the assembly. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors to what went on here. The fact is, we've been sharing services quite frequently. The way I would go about it is by open communication, talking to all of the stakeholders. You cannot, as a county executive, come in and dictate to anybody. You need to come in and work with groups across the spectrum and find those hidden gems, find those ways to do it. So I can't give you one silver bullet on this is what we're going to do, because the one thing I've learned in Albany is that no matter what you're talking about, somebody's ox is getting gored, and somebody's not going to want to share those services for whatever reason it is. So you have to open up those lines of communication and try to do the best you can to make it worth their time and worth their effort and worth the savings that we're going to realize. But we will go at it fully as much as we possibly can. There are many areas we can do it, but one specific item, there isn't one specific item I can point to.
So I have a really strong vision for shared services. I congratulate all of the local officials who have worked on this issue, but I can tell you that if they tell you as a taxpayer that they have exhausted the efforts on shared services, they are not being truthful. There is more we can do. There are simple things we can do. Fleet management software, buying consortiums on vehicles. There is so much that is out there that a plan that would only save $165,000 in the first year of implementation for shared services is not my vision of shared services. The property taxpayers deserve relief, and shared services is the quickest path to relieving the property taxpayers of a burden. So I look forward to working with the elected officials that came to those meetings with a lot of great ideas about how to save money to really implement a tax savings plan. The county administers funds for Medicaid services. If these funds are cut by the federal government, what contingency plans might the county provide? Steve, it goes to you.
Well, that's a great question. It was something we will be certainly paying close attention to. One of the things I would look to do almost immediately and that would save the county taxpayers potentially millions and millions of dollars is to potentially talk about maybe getting a Medicaid waiver and putting our folks that are on Medicaid on the exact same insurance plan that our county employees have. It's good insurance. It is worthy insurance. It's what every county employee has. That would be a potential huge savings. What we hope doesn't happen, though, is that there are moves either out of Washington or Albany that push these costs down on the counties, which the current county executive would tell you happens over and over and over again, and it's one of the biggest problems that we face. Medicaid's a huge issue in this county. I think one of the ways you try to alleviate that is to get your economy as growing as fast as you possibly can, so that you have more folks working, more folks carrying that load, so that we can help those that need help the most.
So the good news is I've been appointed by the governor to the Medicaid Redesign Task Force, and I am a Medicaid Services Efficiency Expert. I am right now engaged in implementing both value-based payment service programs for Medicaid recipients and the Children's Medicaid Redesign. People should be aware that in Rensselaer County, we have completely eradicated underinsured children. There are 99% of children in Rensselaer County today who have health insurance as a result of Medicaid expansion and Child Health Plus insurance. It is unfortunate that the Congress did not renew the Child Health Insurance Plus program this weekend when it expired. But having access to health insurance is very important to me, and I look forward to implementing the Medicaid redesign cost savings through the 1115 waiver, which the state has already received approval for, which will save taxpayers funding.
Due to the time and the fact we're running behind, we cut the response. However, I let you have one, so you may pick the response to whatever one question you want to do so. So I don't know if you want to do this one or save your one response for something upcoming.
I would just say that I hope the Medicaid redesign team works a little better than the mandate relief team did. The one thing that I've noticed with this governor is task forces are his buzzword, but the results that we've seen from them have been less than stellar. So they all start out with a house of fire and end with really nothing. So I'm hopeful that we actually get the results that we need, because we do desperately need some help in this area. But if it's anything like mandate relief, it fell flat and nothing really happened.
Okay, now we'll go back to one and one. Andrea, you get this question first. Actually, there are two related questions. First, do you think we spend too much money on a 19-member legislature with a large staff? And the secondary question is what do you think of the idea, as they did in Massachusetts, of eliminating the county level of government, and do you think it would work in New York State?
I do not agree with elimination of the county level of government in New York State, because the way that New York State has structured the implementation of most of their human services plans is that the responsibility of caring for people is at the county government level. I think that that's a fantastic benefit for the taxpayers, because it brings the service provision closer to the people. I do believe that because of the way the charter is written, that the county legislature and the powers of the county legislature could be reviewed in terms of the effectiveness of that body. It is a very executive-centric charter, and so are 19 members the right number after many, many years of population shifting? I think it would be perfectly appropriate to have a committee take a look at the legislature and divide. I don't believe, though, that the county legislature has a big staff, because I know for a fact that there's only one person that works for the Democratic members of the county legislature.
Oh, well, I tend to agree with that. I certainly would not be looking to eliminate the county legislature. I think that they're an effective body. I think that we have some great people running for that office right now, and great people that are currently serving in that office right now. So, and I also believe that the more local you can make your government, as Tip O'Neill said, all politics is local. So the more local you can make it, the more local that representation, the more in touch people feel with their government, I think that's a wonderful thing. So whether it's city council or county legislature, I think we have some good, well-meaning, hardworking folks on both sides of the aisle that do a good job representing their community. And you know, the more structured your government becomes, or the more out of reach it becomes, the less in touch people feel with it. So anything you can bring, get to that local level and touch those folks. Let them see at the ball games, at the restaurants, at the you know, all around in the grocery store. That makes them a lot more connected to their government, and that, as representatives, helps us do our job to get our services out to them.
Andrea, first to you. The DEC has certified Ulster, Sullivan, and Tompkins counties as climate smart communities with accompanying benefits. Do you see this as a possibility for Rensselaer County?
I do. This is an important futuristic view of how we should approach development. We're a waterfront community. Our waterfront is a great asset. But, you know, if we continue to approve building in a floodplain, we lose out on the opportunity to save taxpayers' money. What it means to be a climate smart community is that you follow some simple guidelines in terms of development of property to protect the area that is susceptible to flooding. And in so doing, any people who currently own property in that area could be eligible for savings on their flood insurance and other types of protections of their property. Being a climate smart community is a little bit challenging because of some of the components, but many of the communities are already doing this to be safe.
Just let me add an extra one in here. What would you do to promote alternative power sources?
So one thing that we have a lot of in Rensselaer County is brownfields, and we should be converting as many abandoned properties and brownfield properties to solar farms. We should be using that energy to offset the cost of government operations, and we should also be offering it to senior citizens as kind of a circuit breaker on their monthly expenses. If they qualify in a way for a low-cost energy benefit, then they should be getting the first choice at manufactured renewable energy. And there is plenty of space in this county to be doing that as much as possible. Here in Troy, you have a great low-cost alternative to Wi-Fi, the massive mesh, and that is the type of competitive advantage that we can bring to other communities to make sure that families have cost and access to low-cost broadband, and communities and seniors have access to lower cost alternative services. We don't have to go with the monopolies every single time, and it's great that here in Troy there's emphasis on those types of alternatives.
Well, I would certainly focus on solar, given my experience in that field. I think it's a good way to go. I'd much prefer to see the brownfields cleaned up and developed appropriately, and maybe put solar panels on the roof, because if you just put solar panels up, you still have a brownfield underneath there that remains unclean. So I'd prefer to go that route. And also, there's still some energy efficiency that we can squeeze out. You still have a lot of buildings that have not been retrofitted with LED lighting, things like that. There's a lot of options there that we can go through. And really, it's about pinching pennies and trying to be as cheap as you possibly can with the public's money and try to save them as much as you possibly can. I'm not a big fan of wind, I can tell you that, and it's very rarely windy enough to do anything with that anyway. Even though you think it's howling, it's never windy enough. Very rare that you see it, and certainly not, I don't want to see windmills all over the Rensselaer County Plateau. I think that solar is absolutely the right alternative. And if there's any alternative out there for hydro, we'd take a look at that as well, but mostly we would look at solar and energy efficiency in our buildings.
And the final question for tonight, what are your views on the influence of political parties in county government? How independently will you make decisions for the county? Do you consider yourself an establishment candidate or an anti-establishment candidate? Steve, we'll start with you.
I think that one speaks for itself. You know, I just went through a primary where I was clearly not the favored son, but the best advice I ever got in politics came from Assemblyman Pat Casale, who told me, you don't need the generals, you just need the army. And we had the army. And I hope that we have the army again in November. I am clearly not an establishment candidate. My record is clear on that. I have tangled with both sides of the aisle. There are not too many assemblymen that would hold a press conference right outside the Senate chamber that is led by Republicans, but they were not doing the right thing for my people in Hoosick Falls, and I called them to task. I've also tangled with this governor on a routine basis, so I'm an equal opportunity anti-establishment guy. As far as making independent decisions, that is also my history. I do the right thing. I have a very strong bipartisan record of about 85%. I'm bipartisan. That's pretty good. So when I think the bill is correct, I vote yes. When I think the bill is bad for my people, I vote no.
As a mental health advocate, it's an interesting road to walk when you're trying to make decisions to help children and families. You can't disregard the opinions of the families at the expense of the providers, nor can you disregard the expense, the opinions of the providers at the expense of the families. You have to come up with solutions that are best for the child, that incorporate what is realistic for the providers to be able to do and what is reasonable to ask families to do. And I think that that is my approach to handling bipartisanship. There is no reason to reject anyone's idea out of hand just because of whose idea it is. That is an unacceptable way to approach any problem, because it does not afford you the ability to look at all possible solutions. And I am a creative thinker, I am a strategic planner, and I will welcome any ideas that can help solve the problems on behalf of the Rensselaer County residents.
It is now time for the closing statements. I'm gonna let them go a little longer because 1 minute was a little hard to do that. Steve, if you'd like to start, and Andrea, you'll have the final word.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and thank you to Tripp, and thank you to all for participating tonight. This is the best way to hear from for us as candidates, to hear from you, and for you to hear from us. So, like I said earlier, you know, I've been very pleased and honored to be able to represent the people of the 107th Assembly District. Was number one vote getter in the Assembly last year. Because I think people are responding pretty well to the way I do business, which is to just simply be straightforward and tell them the truth. Whether they necessarily want to hear that or not, they're going to get the truth. So I love being an assemblyman, but when this opportunity came up rather suddenly, this is a great way to help people. So when people ask me, and I get it all the time, why are you doing this? Why leave the Assembly? It's because this is a direct way to help people on a day-to-day basis and to lay out a vision for this county. We have enormous opportunity in this county, enormous ability to grow, enormous ability to help people's quality of life improve and make Rensselaer County the place to live in the Capital District. We're situated perfectly to grow. We're falling behind in some areas like broadband and infrastructure and economic development. Those are areas of strength of mine that I will bring vision and leadership to. And really, this county needs to get its mojo back a little bit. I think there's a little bit of malaise in this county. We have some issues that can and will be addressed, and we are going to grow into a better, brighter future for the people of Rensselaer County under a McLaughlin administration. And that's going to happen by working across the aisle together to make sure that we are all on the same page. We're not always going to agree on everything, but the one thing we're going to do is move forward together through compromise and through doing the right thing. I can promise you this. I can promise you transparency. I can promise you honesty. I can promise you that I will safeguard your tax dollars every single day and never make you regret voting for me. I will absolutely do what I've done in the Assembly, which is be straightforward, tell you the truth, be accessible, and be open to your ideas and suggestions. And thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So thank you, Hillary and Tripp, and for this great opportunity. I want to be your next Rensselaer County executive. I have a vision that is the way to approach problems that is going to turn things around here. When I, as a policy analyst, read the Robert Wood Johnson annual report and see that Rensselaer County is ranked 11th for economic factors and 44th for quality of life, it disturbs me. We should not be that far apart from the economic standing throughout the state, 11th out of 57 counties, and that's pretty good. 44th out of 57 counties, that's disconcerting. Now, we have work to do here. A lot of it has to do with drinking water quality, lack of recreational opportunities, poverty. And we can address these problems because other counties have addressed these problems. And I have been afforded the opportunity to sit as a student and study the operation of county government for over 30 years. And I welcome the opportunity to bring that knowledge to the people of Rensselaer County. I look forward to being your next Rensselaer County executive.
Thank you to both of you for taking the time with us. And now I pass it back to Marie.
was our Rensselaer County Executive Debate that took place earlier this week, and that was with Democrat Andrea Smith and Republican Steve McLaughlin, and moderated by Lisa Robert Lewis. The full recording, because it went about 50 minutes or so, is available at the Media Sanctuary on Facebook.